Hello everyone, good evening and welcome to the Pinken Show, our dedicated Canaries shenanigans that's constantly missing its target from a few yards out. I'm Michael Bailey, good evening to you. We are here at the Woolpack Public House in the centre of Norwich. We are live and over the next 30 minutes or so, we will discuss all the big talking points from our travels to Swansea and Hull. Send healing words to Moritz Leitner. Wonder if Nelson Oliveira's endgame has finally arrived. Take a watching championship brief. Get ready for Christmas. And look ahead to Paul Warne's homecoming on Saturday. He is one of us. We will do all of this in the company of tonight's guest. That is Eton Daily Press editor, so one of my bosses, Dave Powles, and my football writer columnist, Steve Cook. She's very close, isn't she, tonight, Wesley Moulahan?
I requested it especially, Michael.
Lovely scarf, Dave. Lovely. This is the first time you've been on since we've left the Mustard Studio.
It is, yes. I'm very excited. You repeatedly dropped me from the lineup, I think. It's not through lack of effort and desire, Michael.
No, I'm literally just going along with you now. Yeah, we basically bumped you
off. I felt like Nelson Oliveira must feel. You know, why, Michael? Why?
Well, bring us more of that insight in a moment. That's a good point. Steve, how are you? You're this second time on this season already?
Second time already, yeah. I'm a regular, but this is the first time that I've been on when City have been doing well. So I actually get to show that I've got a positive side to me, which is, which will be welcoming, I think.
Well, let's hope so. It could be really miserable for the next half an hour, for all we know. Let's see. Right, well, we are live on Pinken.com and the Pinken Facebook page. Apologies, we're slightly late. It's for a treat at the end of the show, which I'm sure you won't want to miss. Please get in touch with us during the show. We do want to hear from you, be it on Tom Tribal's recall, Emmy's magic feat, being top of the league, or the last time you were drenched at football, but especially in honour of Paul Warne, clearly wanting his boyhood Norwich City team to win on Saturday, but despite being paid by Rotherham to take all 3 points at Carrow Road. We want to know the last time you were truly conflicted over a football match. Now, I appreciate that's a difficult one, given you've got to try and type it out as a Facebook comment, but we haven't got phone calls. So I'll let these two simmer on that for a moment, and simmer is probably the right word. And I can get all those through to us here on the Pinken Show. Simply post your words below the Facebook feed. That's the one on the Pinken Facebook page, and they will float through here onto my phone, not in vast... it's difficult to read all the messages, got to be honest. Facebook isn't sorting this out, but there we go. So far, John Gosling says, hi from Chilliwack, BC. US? Where's BC? British Columbia. Well done, Dan. At least one of us is clever. Johnny Wood says, hi all, with a nice solid hand. That's always great. David McKenzie, evening all from a dark and stormy Stamford, UK. And Joachim Broberg, cheers from a cold and snowy Sweden. International audience, we really appreciate it. Let us know where you're watching
from. Norwich?
No, they're probably all down the pub. Not this one. Get in touch with us and we'll read those out as we go along. Certainly your questions for the guys too. So with Wesley Moulahan and Onel Hernandez deciding an evening in the band tucked in the barn. It's been a long day. Barn tucked up in front of Pinken.com was the best way to follow City's progress. The pair are well rested ahead of this week's Norwich City. Dave, you're on. Headlines.
That's why you've been dropped. Here you go.
It's a bit quite hopeless. And we've got no slides, by the way, so apologies for that. One, Hull and high water. Tigers did it to... can't even read this. Tigers dig in to hold City to their first drop points in 7 games. Never mind, we'll take it. It's going well, isn't
Letter.
It?
I'm better at the bell than you are at speaking.
What a swan song. Canary smash Potter's hopefuls. It wasn't the first statement win of Norwich's season either. At least we're not bottom. Daniel Farker probably didn't mean it as a dig, but his reaction to Norwich being top of the pile caught the City fans' imagination. Ipswich play tonight, but they won't be going anywhere else in the table just yet. And finally... a great momentum. It was an AGM, but with a very different feel. And the positivity oozed from Carrow Road last week. Long may that and City's newfound promise of transparency continue. It can only get better. It's been quite the week, hasn't it, hasn't it, Wesley? Since we were last on, we should probably start with last night. Hull game, take the point. Any worries or concerns from it or do we just take it as a positive point?
I guess a couple of concerns, maybe. I mean, it is a positive point. I think it's one of those games that we probably would have thought a couple of years ago we'd come back with a 4-0 drubbing. Maybe a couple of concerns might be around clearly the reliance on Leitner. Without him, do we lack a bit of our creativity? Though it has to be said, we still created something like 18 chances on goal. And maybe the sort of signs of a bit of fatigue coming in. Maybe, although I'll probably go against this later with my team for Saturday, maybe it's time for him to start to think, well, do I need to bring in one or two little changes, bit of fresh legs? Because that is clearly the key to being a good manager, is to not change your team as reactionary because suddenly they're playing bad, but to think, well, hang on a sec, I think these guys are getting a bit worn out, let's change it so that we've got a fresh lineup on Saturday. So those are probably the only two niggles that I would have from the game, Michael.
Yeah, I'd say my only concern, watching the game, our pace in possession seemed to be slightly lower in terms of the intensity. Now, you could say, was that Leitner missing and Tribal in? Or was it the fact that Hull was sitting deeper and basically inviting us on? If it's the latter, then that's a potential concern, because it suggests that clubs may see that as a way of beating us. Basically, if you want to stop Norwich from playing, sit deep, watch them play their football around it. But we'll see.
That is a lesson that some probably learnt last year. And it's going to be, however Norwich want to go from here, they're going to have to adapt to what is thrown at them. And you could tell from Hull. Hull were excellent, I thought, in so many ways last night. But that comes from them wanting to prove a point against the team that's top of the division.
And it's something that comes from success, because suddenly teams are looking, well, how do we sort of maintain a point here rather than maybe being a bit more offensive, which maybe last season, if we'd have played Hull, they probably would have thought, well, three points up for grabs here. Maybe last night they're thinking a point is what we'll take, and if we get a goal on the break, fantastic, which is, you know, something that the best teams always have to contend with.
Morris Leitner had missed the game through a calf injury. We don't know how long he's going to be out for. The suggestion is it might be a couple of weeks, to be honest. If it's a calf injury, he's having a scan on it. I wouldn't expect him back on Saturday, but I'm sure we'll talk about that later when we get onto the Rotherham game. Swansea, though, the few days before, wonderful performance in so many ways. I mean, because they were playing a very good side that had its own moments in the game, but you could tell how open Swansea were maybe compared to Hull.
And I mean, they dominated the first 15, didn't they? And then it was bang bang and suddenly the game's going away from them. But I thought what was really telling was when they got it back to 3-1 and they had that little purple patch again in the second half, I was listening on the radio and you start to go, oh, here it comes. But the fact that we went on to win it convincingly, that shows a lot of character.
I was just going to say, Michael, I think because we've been on this big run of wins, that maybe Swansea was a little bit overshadowed or underplayed. Maybe for me, the Swansea result was the result of the season, just because, again, all those factors, the long journey, we don't normally travel brilliantly, Swansea were on form, it was just so clinical, it was just never in doubt, and that was absolutely amazing.
Chris Gorham made a good point in the press conference actually before Hull, saying that Norwich just went and they've gone in bursts and just won games in bursts, which of course they ultimately did against Millwall, and they've done that a few times this year. Do you feel Norwich are being taken seriously now? It seems to be cropping up a bit outside the sphere, and fans are obviously always curious as to how they're being received, but do you think teams are looking at it now and thinking, well, yeah, Norwich are a proper contenders this year?
I think there's been a lot of like flack towards the media saying, oh, well, we're going under the radar and long may that continue, but you can be rest assured that Championship clubs won't be taking us lightly. You know, they'll look at a team that's top of the league, they'll look at the goals that we've scored, they'll look at the form that we've got, and arguably that's why Hull set themselves up yesterday.
Hull almost went the other way, didn't they? Because Nigel Adkins couldn't be more effusive of his praise before the game.
Yeah, I also don't think that Championship level teams decide how to approach a game on the back of the media that a club may or may not have got. You know, they have got a backroom staff like nobody's business. They'll have been scouting Norwich for 3 or 4 games before they then play us. So I entirely think that clubs have been we've been on the radar of clubs for probably a long time, probably even at the start of the season, where we were playing reasonably well, but not getting the same results.
Okay, dudes, right, let's have some more of your messages, shall we? Stephen Noakes, hi folks, I'm just about to teach a class about slaves in the Deal South US history class, so can't watch. And then the message runs out. But Stephen, thank you for watching at some point if you do, and good luck with your teaching, that's important stuff, so good luck with it. David McKenzie, end of winning run or continuation of unbeaten run, what was it?
Well, I'd like to say it's continuation of unbeaten run, definitely. Yeah,
half full. Look, I told you, I'm optimistic tonight.
I mean, let's be honest, David, you're right on both counts, so it's all right. John T. Piercy says, how are you doing, Michael? I don't know if that's in a Joey from Friends voice, but I'm fine, thank you. I'll take it, most definitely. And Harry Thurlow, would be great time to have McLean fit if Leitner is still injured. When do you see Farkas shaking it up on the wings? Which he has done a little bit with, you know, Onel Hernandez has been out and things like that. For the record, I don't think Kenny McLean is going to be back for another 2 or 3 weeks. I don't think that's going to factor in. But, I mean, I would say if you're looking at January, a bit more pace maybe that they could bring on wide would actually be one of the things they could look at if they were desperate. But do you think he'd mix that up? Would that be in your thoughts if you're going to freshen things up?
Definitely, I think with the real heavy periods coming up, I think and we've talked about the fact that Norwich look like they've got a real strong squad and real depth. So I do think that he would look to shake it up a bit, and possibly someone like Hernandez. I don't think he's been as brilliant as, I mean, maybe everyone else is just playing better around him because at the start of the season he stood out, and maybe actually he is still playing really well, but everyone else is. But someone like that, he probably is a player who plays in fits and bursts and probably needs a rest every now and then.
Brilliant stuff. So the AGM was last Thursday, which does feel a complete world away and a lot of miles ago. You can catch our interviews with Stuart Webber, Ben Kensel and Ebb Balls over at Pinken.com and the Pinken YouTube channel, and of course the Facebook page too. Very different feel to previous years, but Steve, that's not solely about where Norwich were in the table. I mean, I don't remember the last time Norwich was top of the league when they held an AGM, but you know, clearly the club are trying to do a lot of things differently, and that almost showcased it.
So I'm the proud owner of 2 shares.
Oh, so did you? I hope you went. Did you go?
I didn't go.
Oh,
I missed it.
What a waste of your shares.
I know, exactly. I missed this when I was working away. But from what I hear, it was a very different approach that the club took. They were really candid, really open. And no, I think a lot of credit goes to Stuart Webber for that and the approach that he takes towards the fans and his kind of openness and honesty that he shows.
I think that they probably abide by the model now of let's not give fans any surprises, and if we make fans feel like they're fully informed of what the situation is, then probably you're going to sort of, expectations are not going to be set unrealistically. Fans just feel a bit more involved and engaged with the club, and that's probably why you get to an AGM like that, and there probably is less for people to shout about or get worried about, because people probably feel that they're aware of everything and they've been kept fully informed, which is clearly only a good thing, and the club deserves praise for it.
Absolutely. And the thing that sort of Delia and Michael, the club's owners, obviously they came up a lot when things are going badly because they are the stick, but they never get mentioned when it's going well, really, do they? Be honest.
I think it's the nature of it, isn't it? It's like when things are bad, you kind of look, well, where does the buck stop? And invariably it's the owners. And you're right, when there's nothing to moan about, it would be churlish to sit there and go, right, well, Delia, what about, well, what about what? Because at the moment, everything's fine. So you could...
The tea could be improved
A little sprig of parsley on the top of a pie, maybe. I don't know. So,
We'll file it. We'll let them know.
I think, you know, do they deserve credit? They have maintained... I think they said that they are stewards of the club or guardians of the club. Fact remains, they've owned it for a long time. In that period, we've had periods of success and periods of kind of what you might describe as abject failure. They do get a lot of stick when things go wrong, and maybe you're right, maybe they don't get enough credit when things are sweet.
Is there, well, this is the test then, is there one issue for you guys away from the football at the club at the moment? That's a good question.
Do you know what the issue is? It's not really an issue, but something that I was thinking about the other day is this kind of, we all love this kind of this balance to be struck between loving the Championship and everyone is enjoying it so much at the minute, and then the kind of, well, what if we do go up and suddenly everything changes and all we try and do is play in a way that we just try and get the odd point here and there away from home, maybe scrape a win, maybe the Chris Hughton model, some might call it. So there is that kind of weird sort of balance between what actually do we want as fans, because this is kind of the perfect moment. I didn't think I'd be quoting Martin McCutcheon tonight.
Can you sing it?
Martin, I am quoting you tonight. I'm a massive fan, as everyone knows. But there is really that balance, you know, kind of, can we just keep winning the league but not go up maybe?
Football is a little bit broken in terms of the gap between the Premier League and you can just see that from the bottom of the Premier League this season as well. We're just going to touch on the speculation as well that's popped up today about Besiktas being linked with Nelson Oliveira. Talk is of a loan, possible permanent move, €3 million, which seems like quite a decent amount of money. nothing solid on it, obviously, but should we just end it? Is that what needs?
Just say goodbye, Nelson. Yes. He's obvious that he's nowhere near the first team. He's not in Daniel's thinking, so it does all parties good if he can move on. And at the moment, I think he was rumoured maybe a season or a season and a half ago for a $7 million bid from Reading or Swansea or whoever Swansea. Was it Swansea? And you know, those days are long gone. At the moment, he's probably an expensive liability that's not going to play for us.
Say that Wilfred Bonny still at Swansea didn't look much cop when he came on, although he is coming back from a difficult injury and all that stuff as well. Okay, so whatever messages have we got here, let's rattle through some of these, shall we? Tony has popped in a good question on Saturday. We're going to come to it later, just you wait. John T. Piercy, if we beat Rotherham and Bolton, are we contending for automatic promotion?
Well, yeah, you've got to say we are, aren't we? And I have admitted sort of on radio discussions, etc., etc., you know, I predicted 10th and right up till a few weeks ago was not really veering that much away from it. But once you get to Christmas and you're there or thereabouts, then it becomes, we all get a bit carried away, Michael. We really do.
Even you, Dave. Barry Taylor, last season we would have lost the game at Hull, but now playing badly, we have the spirit to grind out a result. Get your football conflicts in. You two need to think about one. When you've been conflicted at football, as Paul Warne will be bringing Rotherham up against his boyhood club. It's the first time he's managed at Carrow Road, so it's going to be a big day for him, most definitely. And we'll come back to that. We've got a treat for you at the end of the show, and a bit before as well, actually. So just don't go anywhere, obviously. But before that, let's have a bar game, shall we? Dan, Sting. Yes, that's right. It is Flip the Bird, a game that is truly special. Last time out, debuts for Scott Howie and Ian Lindsay ended with a 7-3 win for the Scot tonight. Last season's champion Steve gets the chance to top his effort of 7 from earlier this year, while Dave is making his own Flip the Bird debut and sounds quite nervous with it. In short, the guys have 30 seconds to flip as many beer mats as possible. Footballers have said that. Professional footballers have sat here and said that. Flip as many bar mats as possible, adding to their flipping pile with each successful one-handed catch. Both scores will find their way onto our leaderboard, while the winner will take a much-prized selfie with Wesley Moulahan, although I keep forgetting to do the selfies. Make sure no one leaves until we've done a selfie tonight. So, you all look ready. Oh, that's a curious technique. You've laid them all out individually. I've never seen that before.
He's tricked me, Michael.
He's tricked. Don't trust him.
Equivalent of a little feint to the left, and then I was off.
No, I've got my tactic, and I'm sticking to it.
All right. Well, that's fine. You're a debutant, so that's okay. Dan's got his watch ready. You ready, Dan? 30 seconds.
One. Go.
And away we go. Dave's still looking at Steve and wondering how he's doing it, but it was a confident first one. He's still looking at Steve, but concentrate on your own game. Stay with two. I did say that before we went on air, but sorry. You know, it's all right. I'll let you forget. Steve's just ticking him on very nicely. A man. Yeah, I know. It's because he won it last year, Dave. Concentrate on your own. You got that one, and you're in a good position. Steve is cooking a very nice pile here. He's doing very well and going about his business very quietly. That counts, Dave. Yeah. Just take it. I didn't even see it. Steve's got a massive pile here. That's not a euphemism. Dave's got another one. Are we still going?
Five. Two. One. Stop.
Oh, Dave. Well, that's a rookie mistake.
You got five.
I'll take your word for it. Five, that's good. It's a good debut score, that.
Hey, yeah, I'm very happy with that. Yeah, I'll take it. I'm taking each day as it comes at the minute, Michael.
We won't go into that. Steve, is that your pile?
What?
11.
Oh. 11, what, which is still one fewer than last season.
I was worried as a one-season wonder because earlier on this year I had an absolute shocker. I had a Hull away. And
you say that, you got 7, which is still 2 more than Dave just managed. But you do go top of the leaderboard. You've overtaken Chris Reeve, who had 10. How are you feeling?
I feel absolutely thrilled. I think I need that selfie.
Yeah, well, let's go on then. Yeah, do the selfie now while we're here. That would be good. Steve's going to take the selfie. Yes,
I'm
Dave,
just glad to have beaten Ian Clark.
And Spud. And
oh,
David
no,
Hannant.
I would happily lose to Spud any day of the week.
And Dave Hannant as well. How about that? Oh, we're now doing the selfie live on air. There we go. And you'll be able to see that on all possible channels. That's exciting. That was one of the best of the season. Well done, boys. Appreciate that. Dan, should we roll the sting again?
Sure.
Why not? Well, phenomenal work. Everyone's taking a beer, just taking stock of what they've just witnessed. You can get another one. You can take one away. We do like to spend a bit of time with the guests. We've got them all here, so might as well have a very nice chat with them away from football for a bit, perhaps. So, Steve, teed you up as my football writer, columnist. Are you still writing for them?
I should have a piece either today or tomorrow.
That's the right answer. What's it on?
Please
don't say Alex Tetti.
It's on the fact that City's current squad is genuinely likeable, and I draw the analogy to Southgate's England and the fact that he's managed to reconnect with the fans, largely because there's no big characters, there's no kind of... If you look at the Norwich squad and you look at England's golden generation and the squad that we had from the legacy of the Premier League, full of characters that you probably felt were a little bit too big for the boots, perhaps felt like they were doing a favour. And at the moment, what we've got is a squad of players who look genuinely delighted to put on the shirt. And as a fan, that's what you want to see. You want to see somebody that you actually think, yeah, good for you.
I think that there's got two interesting points about that, if I may, Michael.
Go on, then. I'll chat with Steve, but go on.
Well, I thought this was a debating show.
On my boss.
I think partly that's probably been helped by the youngsters, hasn't it? But I think it's interesting that's been managed despite the fact that we've got quite a large foreign contingent. And I don't mean that in a xenophobic or a racist way, but I do think that sometimes fans would say that they can struggle to connect with players if they don't feel like, you know, they're one of our own or something. So I think that's a really good point. It's very interesting.
About as well, again, in terms of the analogy with England and in the old days where there was talk about cliques between the United players and the Liverpool players, and your point there about the foreign contingent, you could easily have this is the German part of the changing room where they speak German and over here is the homegrown. But from what you sense, the whole dressing room is together. And I think Jordan Rhodes was interviewed and he said there's not one player in that dressing room that he doesn't feel he can connect with or that he could go and chat with. And that's priceless in football.
And that will be the reason why I think Nelson Oliveira is not in the squad.
Very
because
possible.
I think he's identified him as being someone who actually, you know, upsets the apple cart too much. So it doesn't fit the mantra that Farke's obviously got. So let's just exile him and it's working.
My football writer, tomorrow or the next day?
Should be. I'd have to speak to my boss.
I hope you finished it. I hope you finished it.
Tomorrow, definitely.
Just a note, though, Steve. I mean, the reason you sort of popped up on my list of fans getting was because you've been on Sky Sports as their old football fan zone. That was it, which is always great value. And I mean, from then to now, the different fan writers and fan websites, especially for Norwich City, we seem to be quite lucky in terms of the level of the fan sites and those who are writing all around the club.
I think, I mean, there's some fantastic stuff. I find the real difficulty when you write for a fan site is not just to duplicate the same stuff, because there are so many people writing quality articles. And as we know, there's only so much you can talk about, so many similar sort of themes. So to try and come up with a different angle on something or just not repeat the same sort of old tired rhetoric, I always find that a challenge.
Yep, hear you there. Right, Dave, have you found it this is why I don't bother writing questions down normally. Have you found it plain sailing as a newspaper editor covering the Canaries in recent months?
Ever.
To expand it,
well, you know, it's there are challenging moments, and clearly you know, we've got a job, we're on the side of Norwich City, but equally we've got a job which is sort of in a way to hold them to account, in the same way that we do a local council. You know, clearly people pay a lot of money to follow Norwich City, myself included. So there are definitely times where we go through rocky periods and we have to have challenging conversations. Personally, I've always found them conversations relatively easily, in that hopefully, you know, people know where I'm coming from and I know where the club are coming from. There's no doubt though that all becomes a little bit easier when things are going well, because clearly the you know, we're not going to, now that would be the time when I would say that the club could be you know, fair to say, well, what are you writing about this, if we suddenly had this massively negative agenda at the minute. But clearly when things are going well, our agenda's not so negative, so we probably don't get as many complaints. When things aren't going so well, I would probably imagine our words are scrutinised a bit more closely by the club, and I certainly know from that there are different people at different roles at the club who had different approaches to that. You know, certain leaders of the club who took a lot of time to read what we were watching, And they were, if things aren't going well, they're probably more likely to say, "Hang on a second, how can you say that? How can you say this?" So yeah, at the minute we're very happy, because ultimately, Michael, the main thing is, you know, and I say this to the club, and I'm sure you do as well. You know, we are. I'm a Norwich fan. You're a Norwich fan. We will be critical, and we have been, and we will be on the front page, back pages. But we all do just want Norwich City to do really well, because the city's lifted. We all love writing about the club doing well. We sell newspapers on the back of it. People come to our website on the back of it. Everyone's a winner.
Everyone's a winner. I mean, it's fair to say, Chris, people
now
will...
Now I'm quoting Del Boy.
Yeah, well, it's only a matter of time. How long have we been going? But there's a fair point, isn't it? Because people will say, well, bad news, bad negative stories, that's what sells. Because that's almost a perception of the media nationally.
Yeah, well, I've written columns about this in the past. You know, I've had people say to me, well, you would say that, wouldn't you? You've got a negative agenda because you know that bad news sells newspapers. It doesn't. You know, it really doesn't. I was saying to Steve before we started that we don't sell newspapers on the back of Norwich losing 1-0 on a Tuesday night in Hull. We really don't.
Or a goalless draw, to be honest.
Yeah. So bad news doesn't sell newspapers. We always try and be honest. I'd like to think that as a, you know, a media organisation, we're fair but also challenging, and that's the balance we always try and strike, isn't it?
Brilliant. I've still got a job. All right. Well, no, he hasn't answered it. Good, move on.
Time will tell.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Cheers. So Saturday, Norwich City host Rotherham, and the game will be notable for something else other than Paul Warren's return. And Pinkham Towers was sent a gentle reminder about this afternoon. So it's a particularly dark evening outside, but we've just been delivered a very exciting package right here. Ella, look at that. That is a black box. It's very exciting. Delivered by Will, who's behind you. We're going to take this package into the newsroom and see how it goes down. Let's do it. So notice how calm everyone is in this floor, because they don't know what's inside the box, because I know everyone loves a bit of food, because this is our very own rainbow cake from Delia Smith's recipe, and everyone is going to be sharing this cake very soon. Come to my parties, this is the size of a bit of cake again. Look at that!
That looks amazing!
Can't get the knife off and we couldn't find a plate, but there we go. Look at that. Norwich City's chosen Rainbow Laces game is against Rotherham on Saturday. They're handing out 5,000 pairs of these laces and bits of this cake. Not exactly this cake, because clearly everyone here is going to eat this cake. So keep an eye out for the cake and the laces, and of course the brilliant work that Stonewall and the Rainbow Laces campaign do at Carrow Road on Saturday. Just for the record, we finished recording about 45 seconds ago, and that's all that's left.
Told you.
So there we go. I can officially tell you that was a wonderful, tasty cake. I've got my rainbow laces on here. And as I said at the end there, they are giving out pieces of the cake and rainbow laces outside Carrow Road on Saturday. They want to get rid of them all. They don't want to have any left over, having not given them out. So have a look out for them and check them out. And you might get a bit of cake and some laces, which is great. It's done a fantastic job, really, hasn't it, the Rainbow Laces campaign? I remember they had to sort of go about it quite stealthily at the start, didn't they? Basically just by giving players the laces, and the clubs were a bit like, what are you doing? But we've come a long way since then, really.
Yeah, they actually sent my Sunday League team a load, and so we had one Sunday League game where we all played in Rainbow Laces. In fact, I think they stayed on my boots until the boots packed in over the laces.
Through a lucky run of results, or just out of habit?
Just out of bad use. Yeah. Poor usage.
I mean, we've given quite a bit of coverage to the Rainbow Laces. We had Di Cunningham on from Prague Canaries recently as well, doing some great work. But do you feel football still has a fair way to go, Steve? I mean, we live in quite interesting times anyway, politically and socially.
Socially,
thank you, Dave. Long day. What do you think? Big question.
I think, no, do you know what? I think I'm probably ill-equipped to answer that, because as a middle-aged white male, I haven't experienced prejudice. And so it would be really easy for me to say, oh, it's not a problem, I don't see it and everything, but you'd argue, why would I? I'd like to think it's getting better. But as I say, I'm also aware that I come from quite a naive position to a degree, and you know, you always feel that there's a potential simmering away. I've not experienced it where I sit in the Upper Barkly, and I also know that, or instances that have been reported, you feel that the groundswell within the crowd is to kind of look down on it and to alert the authorities. But anything like that has to be good, surely.
Brilliant answer, Steve. Well done. Top stuff. Okay, so we are currently halfway through a midweek programme in the Championship, so bear with us. But as for last night, while Norwich were drawing at Hull, their rivals were winning, Middlesbrough accepted. Tonight sees Forest, West Brom and Derby all get the chance to close the gap, while Ipswich will be hoping for their first win under Paul Lambert, still sounds weird, at home to struggling Bristol City. So Ipswich remain cut adrift and can only improve that situation tonight. Stoke are gently climbing, but the bottom half could look very different come Thursday morning. As for the top half, Norwich's lead has been cut to just 1 point. That was the national narrative for us lot. I'm sure it's still a little surprising Norwich are even there after Tuesday's result at Hull. Clearly, the gaps may well have closed a bit once tonight's games have finished. As for the weekend, crunch games kick off and wrap up an eye-catching Saturday, underlining the point Norwich could really do with a victory of their own against Rotherham, which is kind of where we are, I suppose. You know, Norwich, the dynamics change. They need to churn out some relentless wins if they want to achieve. Are we in danger of getting too disappointed if it all unravels a bit?
Definitely, because you look at a game like Rotherham and you think, well, we've got to win that. And it was only two and a bit months ago we were tonked by Leeds and probably everyone's chins were on the floor. I think the really interesting thing I take from looking at the Championship is, and this really I think shows the challenge we've got, is how many big sides there are up there, how many clubs where the fans probably have the same sense of kind of entitlement that we have, which is we should be in the top division, we should be in the Premier League. Leeds, Middlesbrough, Sheffield United, West Brom, Derby, Nottingham Forest, Villa, Swansea, Blackburn, Birmingham, they've all been in the Premier League relatively recently, and I think that shows, just no matter what people say about, oh, the Championship's not as strong this season as it has been before, that is still a heck of a challenge to get to the top of that tree.
Yeah, who do you see as Norwich's biggest challenges up there? Who are the ones to really...
I'll tell you what's interesting, that there doesn't seem to be a Wolves in the division. You know, like last season, Wolves ran away with it and were an obvious cut above it, I think Huddersfield the year before. And then to my mind, you look at those sides and take two from six, two from eight. And I have a sneaky suspicion that that might work in Leeds' favour, because they are the sort of club that the expectation is so big that when it's not going their way, they tend to implode. So if it is tight, you might feel that this could be their year to claw it. As for Norwich, I mean, heading into the season, I expected us to be bottom middle half.
Yeah.
In my wildest dreams, I thought, well, maybe we might flirt with the promotion places. So to see us top is dreamland.
It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous, because you look at it and go, wow, 11 wins from 19 games still. Good point on Wolves, by the way. Wolves, after 18 games last season, had 41 points. So just emphasise, bear in mind Norwich are there with 37 after 19, just how far and away Wolves were, even at this early stage in the season. Ipswich, we should just look at that, because the bottom half is...
they haven't dropped off
the bottom. Dan's laughing, he loves it, and he's not even a football fan. Paul Lambert, is going to keep them up? Obvious question, I think I ask it every week.
No.
Fair enough.
No.
That doesn't. Most people seem to have an inkling that he might do it, so there we go. I have a feeling they might win tonight. Might date very quickly. Dan's saying no, no one's agreed. No.
There's
no.
Not a massive load of money there, I don't think, which is what they need. They have a poor squad.
That's a fair point. Let's move that on then, shall we? Let's have a look at some more of your points, shall we? Chris Reeves says he doesn't remember playing Flip the Bird. Yeah, you did, Chris. Unless it's a...
How many of these did he have?
It could be a different Chris Reeve, for all I know, but there we go. Mark Newstead, what do we think of Teemu Pukki last night? Hard to criticise him, but he is one that looked a bit leggy. Just a heavy pitch. It was a heavy pitch. And Daniel Farker made a little jibe about the pitch not being maybe mowed for a couple of weeks. Mm. So I guess, again, Norwich are going to have to come up against and get used to that too.
But he's a bit of a Grant Holt, isn't he? He always looks leggy. And then he just suddenly scores this brilliant goal, and like he did against Swansea. So, but yeah, he does a heck of a lot of running, so it wouldn't surprise me if he might need a break at some point.
fair point. And Chris Elliott, football conflicts. It'll be very hard watching Wes play against us in January if he's selected for West Brom. Of course, his contract with West Brom only runs until January as well, so he might not even be there. Who knows? We haven't seen much of him. But I think on the bench at Portman Road is the most we've seen of him since he left. So there we go. Okay, so Rotherham, Paul Warne's return, of course, coming up this weekend. I keep going on about it, and I like Paul. I've spoken to him a few times. Will that register with anyone else inside Carrow Road?
It registers Paul with me.
Warne. Yes.
Do you know why it registers?
Well, tell me, Dave.
Well,
tell me.
As you've probably told you many times before, bored the pants off. I was a Distan fan as a teenager, and I still remember passing the ball to Paul Warne for a corner in the FA Vars, probably like an early round, and he said thanks. And it was very, as a teenager, you know, loving football at the time, it was a big moment for me. And I've always loved Warne. He was a fantastic player for this town. So yeah, it will register with me, Michael.
I played alongside Paul Warne for one five-a-side match in in Blythe Jack's Sports Hall. We won because he was on my team, so I don't think he was supposed to be playing, to be honest. I think it was a bit of a ringer job, and I remember seeing, I've never seen anyone play football that quickly, and you know, bless him, it was like playing for Wroxham at the time. I know he went on to play league football, but you know, it was at that point it was like, wow, that's some step up from my wholly inadequate abilities. So yeah, all good. That's my story. Have you got a Paul Warne story, Steve?
No, never met him.
No. We're going to talk about we were looking into the Vars final as well with this, and the referee was from Bury St Edmunds, wasn't he?
Kelvin Morton.
Yeah, played a lot of extra time as well, didn't he?
He did, I remember it well. There was a big scandal. Kelvin Morton, I know Kelvin, and there was a big scandal at the time that they picked
did
a ref from Suffolk.
In the EDP?
I was only 14, so no, I didn't.
Let's move on swiftly. What do you reckon then, Steve? I mean, Paul Warne, you don't get many people in football still quite open about, you know, the team their family supports, and you know, Paul's mum and dad are still in the area.
I do feel that, I mean, I'm a fan that hasn't been involved in the professional game, and therefore I see it from a particular lens, which is the fans' lens. So I think those people who've been actually involved in playing professional football, when they talk about being a fan, it's not quite the same. I genuinely believe that. And you can say, oh yeah, he's a big Norwich fan, but actually the big Norwich fans are the ones that sit there on like go every week and follow the club all around the country, not the ones that are doing their job. So I think it's different.
But he wasn't a professional footballer for that long. So he did, you know, have many years of his career where
he's a mate of yours, I know.
He's not
that.
A mate of mine. I wish he was.
Thank you, Dave. Well, okay, let's focus more on the football then, shall we? Because he is doing a cracking job. You mentioned before the start of the season, I spoke to him after the League One playoff final, which I was fortunate enough to cover, how their budget was going to be, you know, blown out of the water by everyone else. They're unbeaten in seven games. Admittedly, six of them are draws. But still, he's making real progress considering where Rotherham were 2 years ago.
And he spent about a year saying he didn't want the job, if I remember rightly. He's done a brilliant job. He just seems to really have the players behind him. I think, you know, Rotherham, when they were last in the Championship 2 seasons ago, they were the whipping boys, weren't they? Then they brought in Neil Warnock, and he kind of nearly rescued them, but not quite, I think.
Yeah.
He's doing an amazing job because, yeah, Rotherham are not a club that I'm sure have got riches even close to Norwich.
And I mean, a lot of their success in that run has come at home. They've had it a bit tougher away from home. And of course, we've seen what Hull did to a degree on Tuesday night. So are we expecting this to be kind of what Rotherham have tried to do at Carrow Road before, which is stick you behind the, get the bus out and all that sort of stuff?
I think they'll come for a draw. And I think the trouble is that there'll be a lot of people at Carrow Road on Saturday who basically go, where are Rotherham in the table? 19th, we should beat them. And if we're not 3-0 up by half time, then it will start to be, because it's the nature of the fan, isn't it? Is that you want everything, you expect it. So I think it's going to be a tough game. I think we'll win, but the fact is, and here's a cliche alert, there are no easy games in this league apart from Ipswich.
Well, you drew that one. So we take a 1-0 win now.
Oh, definitely, 100%. Every game till the end of the season, Michael.
Well, yeah, that would be enough, wouldn't it, for 130-odd points. Let's have a look at your 11s then, shall we? Who should we go for first, Dan? Dave's first. So you've made one... There's really one thing to talk about, isn't there?
Yep, it's quite an easy job, isn't it, Michael? Although saying that, I did spend at least 5 minutes talking about the need to change it if players are tired,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm having faith in the 10 that aren't injured. But I think that you probably want at home, you want that little bit more creativity, maybe that little bit more urgency. So I've put Vrančić in. He's done nothing wrong in the games he's played this season. In fact, he's been superb. So he probably can count himself unlucky to not be starting more than he is. So I'm sticking Vrančić in instead of Tribal.
Fair dues. And now, Steve, we'll have a look at your 11 because you've stuck with Tom. So, case for the defence.
He unchanged. Then I think, you know, Tribal came in. He looked a little bit leggy, but he got in the position to... granted, to miss our best chances, but he was in that position. And, you know, you can say he was a little bit rusty maybe, but I think Tommy Tribal's a quality player. So
it certainly is that, and I might even mention some of that in my column out on Friday at pinken.com, probably. OK, let's get some of the final messages, shall we? Mark Newstead's got a couple here. Is Ben Marshall ever going to get a game?
Well, he's not been amazing in the times he played, so I think the jury's still out. Maybe he'll have a January loan move.
Maybe. Strange things have happened, although he's a homegrown player, like gold dust. But you never know. And Mark Newstead adds that he saw a great comment on Twitter from a Leeds fan, which I saw after Saturday, saying thrashing Norwich in August was the worst thing they could do because Norwich basically then turned into vintage Brazil. Which is kind of a good point in terms of the football that Norwich have played. And Andrew Palmer, we might hear from him in a bit, says that he played with Paul Warne for North Walsham under-14s. He was... the whole message doesn't carry on. He was centre of defence and I was left back. I have cut. And that's it. That's where the message ends.
He cut out a picture from the Pinken.
Of Robert Rosario giving them a new kit. So that would be North Walsham being presented with a new kit by Paul Warne. No, by Robert Rosario with Andy and Paul Warne in the team. I'll get my head
normal
around
for Norfolk, Andy Palmer.
Yeah, that's... Well, yeah. Yes, yeah. He's been busy. Treat coming up. For Rotherham, key man and predictions then for Saturday. Go.
2-0. Key man will be Vrančić.
I think we will win 2-0. And I think the key man will be Tommy Tribal because I picked him and Dave didn't.
Fair dues, I love it. Emi Buendia for me, he's my new hero. So that is it. That is us for tonight. Almost. Don't go anywhere just yet. Remember, you can catch this show and all of our superb Norwich City coverage on the Pinkins Facebook page, YouTube channel, and our brand new app, which you can download from the Google Play Store and App Store. Just search Pinken. I think that's pretty much it. But first and foremost, Pinken.com. I'll be at Carrow Road on Saturday alongside Paddy Davitt and Dave Freezer, of course. So make sure you keep tabs on Pinken.com for all the news, or the app, for all the team news, live coverage, reaction and analysis. And if you see us around, please come and say hello. We'll be back again here next Wednesday from our new regular time of 6 p.m. live from the Wallpack. What are you laughing at? On Golden Ball Street in the centre of Norwich for another Pinken show. So come and join us for the usual fun and games, be it in the flesh or online, of course. And in the meantime, a big thank you to our guests tonight, to Dave and to Steve. Gents, all enjoy it.
Oh, I loved it. When will you have me back?
Very soon, but we might have to drop you a few times first. Steve?
Always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Top stuff. To the Wallpack, thank you to the Wallpack, of course, for letting us in, especially as they're getting busy over Christmas. To the crew, who, as always, is just Dan. He's done a good job. And now I know you can read the messages on Facebook. We might utilise that a bit more.
Now I know you can read.
yeah, there. And, of course...
Sorry, Dan.
Harsh boss. And of course, to you guys for watching and getting involved, we really, really appreciate it. We'll see you again next week. Until then, we've got a great little treat to leave you with now. Saturday's game marks the arrival of December, and of course, with that, basically the arrival of Christmas. Now, I shared a brief chat with musician extraordinaire Andy Palmer, he offers North Walsham under 14s, the other week. It was last week, in fact, about getting his guitar out. After all, his epic hit, Heart Shaped Hands, in tribute to Kai Kamara, it was a very, very long time ago. So, Andy came up with this, and we've got it for you right now. That's right, it's Pookie Christmas by Andy Palmer, normal for Norfolk. It's been a long day. Go get it on Spotify next week. Good night.
You're listening to Canary Call. Next on the line is Father Christmas.
Father Christmas is on the line, calling Canary Call for the very first time.
My sleigh isn't red this year, it's yellow and green, 'cause this Norwich City squad is the best I've ever seen.
Lapland in Finland, the home of Timo Pukki, he's probably an elf, so you'd best be good, my booty. When he's not scoring goals, he's watching you and me, so I've been a good boy this year for Timo Pukki. Zimmerman, Krill, Closer and Aarons, around Alex Techies, and they're all singing carols. Steeperman, Hernandez, Leitner and Rhodes are looking out the window, hoping it'll snow. Lapland's in Finland, the home of Timo Pukki, he's probably an elf, so you'd best be good, my booty. When he's not scoring goals, he's watching you and me, so I've been a good boy this year for Timo Pukki. But a jealous Paul Lambert has kidnapped Santa Claus,
oh, he's been kidnapped,
and put him in the dungeon under Portman Road's floor.
He's in the Portman Road dungeon!
It's not really Santa, it's actually Daniel Farker.
Thank goodness!
In a fake bed and a red and white parka. Paul Lambert's plan has foiled, Farker's goodness shone through. He's even left each town player a prayer. Lapland's in Finland, the home of Timo Pukki, he's probably an elf, so you'd best be good, my booey. When he's not scoring goals, he's watching you and me, so I've been a good boy this year for Timo Pukki. Lapland's in Finland, the home of Timo Pukki, he's probably an elf, so you'd best be good, my booey. When he's not scoring goals, he's watching you and me, so I've been a good boy this year for Timo Pukki. Lapland's in Finland, the home of Timo Pukki, he's probably an elf, so you'd best be good, my booey. When he's not scoring goals.